Dental Associates of Northern Virginia redefine what it means to visit the dentist. Get top-quality, personalized support from committed experts who prioritize the well-being and satisfaction of you and your family. Care is centered on a highly personalized treatment plan backed by the trust and support of long-lasting relationships. Schedule your next appointment by visiting dental1-va.com/offer/SiriusXM.
At Consumer Cellular, you get the same exact coverage as the largest carriers, but for up to half the cost. Same thing, up to half the cost. Up to half the cost for the same thing. 50% the money for 100% the same thing. I hope I'm making myself clear. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Half the cost savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 5GB data plan with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plan offered by T-Mobile and Verizon May 2023.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, Duck Dynasty fans, we got a new podcast, The Jeff and Jess Show, with me, Jeff Roberts.
And me, Jessica. We'll be talking about our many passions, including faith, family, and everyday life.
So check out new episodes of The Jeff and Jess Show every Wednesday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, big on mandate. Get it on. And thanks for tuning in to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's the moderator, Matt DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there. And today's guest is a famed racer. He's a winemaker. He's, he's working with Lexus now, and we'll get into that in 1 second. And a guy I've been wanting to talk to for a long time, Scott Pruitt, everybody.
Good to be here, Adam. Thanks for having me on the show. This is this is a great place you got here. Every place I look, you got these little things everywhere that just talk all this history of racing, and it's awesome. It's
he skimmed over the front room of all the stuff that you've done over the years, comedy, TV shows, and went right to all the racing.
Right to racing.
Well, he's like, I didn't even notice the front room, but look at all this car stuff you got.
Well, as you know, or maybe not, we've been working on some documentaries, and we've been working on, we did Paul Newman, and you must have raced with Newman back in the day.
What a great guy. I mean, talk about a guy who was passionate about racing more so then, I'd say more than his acting. I mean, spent a lot of time with him, raced a lot with him. Just an incredible guy. Just a champion of racing, and at his age, doing what he did and how well he, you know, absolutely was, you know, stellar. And the documentary you guys did, I thought was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Well, thanks. Yeah, you were a Trans Am champion in 87, 94, 2003, and so many championships. And I'll get to that.
Look at all this 24 hours in Daytona.
Overall winner. Jesus Christ. So many
one,
wins.
One, two, three, four, five.
Five of those. Nine in class, Le Mans winner,
Sebring,
so fun stuff.
Yeah, some great racing history for Scott Pruitt. I also, there's so much. So first off, I ran into Bruce or Caitlyn Jenner last weekend or the weekend before when we were at Amelia Island.
Yeah.
And I remember it was so weird because it was. We were sitting around. We're working on this Willie T. Ribs doc, and I said, "Now we got to talk to Scott Pruitt, and we got to talk to Caitlyn Jenner." And then I saw Caitlyn doing a thing on Leno's Garage, and she's like, "It's so weird with the she and the he and all of us." Leno and he's got his daughter.
Especially when you're talking about history, though, because we were talking about
You're talking about history. I know. So now we should be grandfathered, literally grandfathered in. But she's like. Well, I pushed that car as hard as I could push that car, and I couldn't go any faster. And then Scott would be 2 seconds faster a lap.
Yeah.
And so Caitlin is talking to Leno about Scott Pruitt, and I'm watching this going, now we got to get Scott Pruitt, and we got to get him, and
you
screw Leno.
Caitlin.
We don't need Leno. We need Leno. We get enough out of him.
Yeah.
So that must have been kind of cool, watching that.
It was, which part of that? The male, just female?
Just the part
driving.
Where...
It's just confusing because all of the stuff that we talk about with Caitlyn Jenner was as Bruce Jenner, and now we have these conversations. Like, we ran into Caitlyn Jenner and Amelia, and she said, oh, I've got great stories about Willie T and all this. And then, of course, I'm like, how do you do that in a documentary?
And that makes it even more fun.
It's like, how do you show the footage and then cut to the interview with Caitlin?
It's going to be, you know, I mean, Bruce did a lot for me early on in my career. I've known him, I'm going to say Bruce, because that's who I really know, back probably in, you know, the mid-80s. And I did my first race with him in 85 with Ford, with Roush, at Elkhart Lake. And from there, did another race, and we were leading that race, and unfortunately broke. We went on in 85 to win at Pocono in a sports car, and that led me to, you know, three great years with Ford and four championships later. But my first year in 86 was driving together with Bruce for the full season, and we had quite the adventure at times. We came close to winning the Rolex 24. We went on to win at Sebring in class that year. At the end of the race, Ricky Rudd comes over the back of the car. He's wanting to beat the crap out of Jenner. We're, you know, everybody's trying to pull each other. I mean, this is after the checkered flag, right?
There's a lot of fighting.
And then with Willie T, I mean, for some reason, Willie T and I continually seemed to, we just had magnets that attracted each other on race cars as well as away from the track. And the fights we had, and Bruce is driving, and I'm in the car, and my girlfriend at the time.
Oh, this
is
like a rental car, right?
Yeah, and
not on the track.
And Willie's getting in the door and goes to punch me and hits her. And
wow, I mean, this is why, Scott. The last thing.
It's good you moved out of the way. Your reflexes are good.
But yeah, well, hey, what? Boom. Yeah. Hey, take this one for me, baby. Will you?
the last
I'm a real
thing
gentleman there. That.
I was just with Nate Adams over at the other warehouse, the studio. And he just said, Scott Pruitt's coming over there.
Yeah.
Got to get him for the Willie T. So, Scott, I'm going to pencil you in for Willie T.
You got to be part of that.
Great story. I mean, you talked to the TV crews back then, and every one of them said, if you and Willie got close, we just focused on you guys because we knew something was going to happen.
I think it was all secretly planned. You guys said, hey, this is what's going to happen.
The TV guys, well, you know, it's interesting. Well, first off, when you're running first and second all the time, you know, it seems you're going to get a lot more camera time and you're going to make a lot more contact than if one of you was slow and one of you was fast, then you wouldn't have this rivalry, you know.
Right. It's got like Snake and Mongoose were kind of that way too. They're like let's bicker a little bit and we'll put on a good show. It'll be fun.
Ours was real.
Yeah, I think theirs is real.
There was no, you know, hey, let's put on a show. I was like, there was a lot of heated discussions, a lot of profanity, a lot of, you know, getting up in each other's face, a couple of, you know, swings taken at times, and it was quite the adventure.
Well, I'm scared to ask, but I know Willie pretty good now. He's a little crazy, but he's fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's mellowed a bit. Do you guys get along now?
I haven't, in all honesty, I haven't. I've seen him occasionally at the track, but never, you know, because, you know, doing all this racing I continue to do and the new program with Lexus, and it's got me, you know, busy and a lot of testing and racing, and just got back from Sebring over the weekend. We never had a chance to really, because he's doing some more stuff like historics, and which is a lot more laid back and a lot easier, but we just haven't had that chance to do much visiting or, you know, catching up. So
it's not really like super high up on your list.
We just haven't.
I think you guys probably have a beer and a laugh, or actually wine.
Wine. Yeah, they even have some wine
and a laugh. Next
and
time
the beauty is, only one of you makes wine. So you won that argument.
Although you'd have to pay because you'd be a douche if you charged him for your bottle of wine. Let's talk about the wine for a second. You brought me a nice bottle when you came in, which was nice. So, how did you? Usually, wine stuff is family sort of oriented. Or my grandfather came over here with a grape. Is that what happened with you, or
no.
What happened?
Started from scratch. Just got the bug of being around the wine industry. We started in North Auburn, where we live. It's an old wine growing area, back in the gold rush. So the miners would put grapes in and ferment them so they could have something alcohol to drink.
Right.
All went away during the Prohibition. And then we, you know, I didn't want to say I had grapes in my backyard and say, hey, look, I got grapes. We did all the soil study, did the climate study, decided what varietals worked there, decided, you know, what rootstock worked in the soil. It's rocky, it's steep, it's just horrible soil to look at, and great for making, you know, high-end wines. And then over the last 3 years, we've, you know, Wine Spectator being really the Bible of the wine industry, them and Parker, we continually have, either we have the highest rated Syrah in California and or the U.S., or we have one of the top two.
Yeah.
I want to do the work. So I was out there clearing the land in my big D4, ripping it, prepping it, do all the winemaking, all the barreling, all the blending with the consultant. And
well, we're looking at some really great pictures of it.
Every moment of it.
It's such a...
Hey, yeah, it's great. Wow, that's a beautiful shot there.
I know. We're looking
Chris
at,
just took
looking
that.
At some beautiful acreage. I got to tell you, like, walking through touring vineyards and doing that kind of stuff, first off, just walking into where the barrels are, it's always cooler and it has this aroma. And if you, you know, they always say, like, you know, hey, you want to go get your head straight, go walk on the beach, you know, and look out in the ocean. But you go walk through one of those wineries, just immediately. I don't know. It's got to be 15 different things your senses are picking up simultaneously, but it is the most calming. Just kind of, I mean, it's the opposite of racing cars. I
love
imagine,
that there's an art to it. There's not a lot of technology to it. Like, it's all art.
It is overwhelming at times being part of something that's been going on since Egyptian times, realistically, mm-hmm. and will go on continually way past my lifetime. And, you know, Pruitt Vineyard came along purely out of passion. You know, it was, I want to do it. I want to put it in. I want to do the work. I want to do all that. And when Adam's talking about, I mean, there's nothing more special than in kind of midsummer and, you know, the vines are all, you know, growing strong and you're walking through the vineyard at sunrise. It's a pretty magical time. And you look at that where I've lived my life in fractions of a second in racing.
Yeah.
And then in the wine business, it's years. I mean, spend it in years, or what they call vintages. And it's just such polar opposites. And I dig both. I absolutely dig both.
And you should. And it's why I kind of tell people all the time, I was just having this discussion where, like, I was saying, like, you know, grow your own vegetables. And everyone's like, go buy them. You know, who's got time? You know, who's got time? Who's got time? Yeah. It make time. It's better for you. It gives you balance. Like it's nice. Like it's something. It's tactile. It gives you a sense of purpose. I love building for that reason. I like the idea of building stuff and the idea that it's there and that it's not just stuff that kind of floats up into the ether, and also pick stuff that's the opposite of what it is you did last weekend. You know what I mean? You're going racing this weekend. You're going wine making next weekend or whatever it is. Yeah. It creates that sort of homeostasis, that balance in your life. If it's all just race, 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 then we just got a triple X movie. You get burnt out pretty quick. So, Scott, we got
Long Beach. What's the name of the wine, by the way?
Oh, yeah, sorry. PruittVineyard.com is where you can go.
Okay. PruittVineyard.com. And, you know, we had, you know, our... We're pretty much sold out. We released in late October. We sold out by mid-February. We had a 96-point wine, 95, a 94, and a 93. So it's been absolutely, absolutely crazy.
So
all I wanted to do
is
sit across from you guys and have a glass of wine, and you guys not bust my balls for it. You know, that was my whole initial thought, was sit across from my friends and be able to enjoy a glass of wine without just, you know, getting hammered on by how bad this stuff was.
Well,
so.
Jimmy Vassar's up there doing something with wine, too.
He's
right?
got wine. And so, doesn't Andretti?
So with all those guys. So Andretti,
like do, yeah.
Jeff Gordon, good friend. Jimmy, good friend. But... they're not doing the work. I mean, they got their name on the bottle, but they're not in the vineyard. They're not in. I mean, I decide when we harvest. I decide the irrigation. I do all the fermentations. I do all the barreling, blending. I do all the. I'm that guy. I got one employee. So, that it's a big difference. I mean, I talk to Jeff all the time about it. And he goes, man, I live vicariously through you. Because he goes, I don't even, you know, I worked the last bit when they're getting ready to put it in bottles, but that's about all.
But that's the balance that you're talking about, Adam. It's like, that's the point of doing it the way you do it, is for that balance. Yeah. I mean, the rest of it for those guys, it's just a business. It's a business opportunity.
Yeah.
Can I say, speaking of balance, as a guy who used to do earthquake rehab work for a living, when I toured a vineyard and I saw all those barrels stacked up just on these sort of gravity sleds, you know, just like half, not even half
I'm gonna
circle,
take a
quarter circle with another
case.
Barrel and then another quarter circle like rack and then another
ten high.
And I said, hey, we're in wine country, but we're also in earthquake country. And I, by the way, I get the answer I get from everybody. I go, if there's an earthquake, because that's all I used to do is earthquake rehab. I'd go, if there's an earthquake, all this stuff's coming down. And there's a super simple way to strap it. I mean, it's not a whole bunch of technology. It's you're probably two trips to the Home Depot away from really taking care of this mess. And then I get my number one answer, which is, they just had an earthquake like a month back. Yeah. Took out this whole guy's whatever. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, it was a mess. And I was like, yeah, how many gallons of wine? Thousands.
Lost.
How many dollars? Oh. Millions. Tens of that. Millions. And I'm like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. He acts like we got it out of our system, that earthquake.
It's done. Yeah, it's out. Yeah.
And he was talking to me the whole time, like agreeing with me. Like, yeah, that guy's screwed. And I was like, yeah, no, you with your tilt up.
By the way, as a racing car driver, you have like ratchet straps all over the place. Like they're like you could throw a few over the barrels. And when I see the barrels, I just think of Donkey Kong, you know, when all the barrels roll down and it just right. Everybody's running out of the way trying to jump over the barrel so you don't get crushed.
Scott, am I making this up?
No, that's true. I mean, you walking into those kind of wineries, it scares the crap out of you. I mean, you look and you can take a step back because you're going, dang, man, if that thing on top falls or any of those things start shaking, mine are only two high or maybe four high. So it's very manageable and there's no issue. When you look at those things 10, 12 high, it's pretty spooky. It's scary. I mean, it's just downright scary.
Why doesn't anybody strap them down?
They give you I got two answers. The two, super unsatisfying, but they're always the two. It's one is, oh, yeah, we just had an earthquake and it all fell down. And then you go, somebody ought to make a strap. Oh, yeah, they got them.
They got them.
That's the other one. We don't have them, but
we don't use them, but they got them. Yeah. They got them. Yeah. You're not going to invent any.
Some guy created the barrel strap. He's not doing very well.
All right, we got questions up there. We got Long Beach. Yep. That's coming up April 7th through the 9th. Oh, we're going to be racing out there with Lexus, right?
Going to be racing out there with Lexus. We actually race with a Saturday show, IMSA is. And it's actually going to be live on Fox as well at 4 p.m. So live on Fox.
Finally, some road racing, man. Yep. And you're in the Lexus.
RCF GT3.
The RCF.
Everything's paddle shift. Yeah. Everything's got a V6 and a turbo.
We are normally aspirated. So we're about 5.4 liter normally aspirated V8.
Okay. Yeah. So you got
a V8. It's a ground up built. Race car comes from Japan. They developed it over there. We brought it over here, took delivery of our first car in October, and then been testing ever since. It's exciting for me being involved with, I mean, doing all the racing I've done over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord's blessed me with this incredible career. And it's fun at this point being involved with a manufacturer that hasn't been involved in motorsports before. You know, as you know, Lexus has really moved from being, you know, pure luxury to luxury and performance with the ISF, which I helped them launch. LFA, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, we were talking about that for a while.
Awesome supercar.
Yeah.
And then the RCF, the GSF.
The key to the LFA, God bless you, Ford and many other companies, but it's the naturally aspirated V10 that just...
And it sounds...
You take a V sick configuration that winds up that over $9,000 or whatever it is, and it's naturally aspirated. Yeah. That's the super... That's the whole thing about, like, with me and the first Ford GT is like, you got a Mustang engine with a blower on it, and, like, that's not sports car to me. But that LFA, obviously... You got to pay a little extra for that V10. Yeah. But who are you racing against? Who do we got? We have
11 other manufacturers. So you have Ferrari, BMW, Audi, Lamborghini, I mean, the list goes on.
I like kind of seeing Lamborghini get into this a little bit.
It's weird, after 50 years.
So the spec is it's a global spec, GT3. Yeah. So they race them all over the world, that spec of car. And it's called GT Daytona within the IMSA series. And they'll be at Long Beach because there's going to be, and ours will be the biggest class with about 25 cars.
What kind of horsepower range are you guys making with the 5.4 liter?
Their IMSA holds us to about just under 600. But so we have restrictors on it, and they try and, you know, BOP, balance of politics, I mean, balance of performance, is always a, you know, big challenge. Yeah. Everybody's, you know, politicking to get something more.
When you add that restrictor, it starts to limit the horsepower, but you've got sort of an obscene amount of torque now because it doesn't really affect it quite as much. Is that right?
Not as much, but it still does. I mean, come on. I like horsepower. Who doesn't like horsepower? Yeah. You know, as a race car driver, you never have enough horsepower. I did my last ever IndyCar race when I gave Toyota their first pull in IndyCars. We qualified at an average speed of 236 miles an hour at Fontana. And that is a good ride. So nothing beats power. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, nothing beats power and speed.
That's as fast as it really gets. Well, in any department, I was going to say, not Indy's about the fast. That's as fast as people go in race cars. I mean, on a circuit.
Yeah.
As far as I know, I'm trying to think of anything faster.
That's about it right there.
That's about it.
And let me tell you, that was a spooky, awesome, incredible one lap ride before I damn near fenced the thing going in turn one on my second qualifying lap. So it was
at 2:34.
Well, you're rolling in turn one at Fontana at about 2:46, something like that. Geez. So
yeah,
it's a good ride.
Wow. I did it in a Datsun 510.
Yeah.
1:31.
Not quite 2:34.
But then have windows, you know, so it felt fast. You want to feel fast? You get the Garage Boss. They do the oil drain pans. We use them over here.
I used them the other day, two weekends ago.
On
my Mustang.
On the Mustang?
Yeah, I put some oil in it to... as I was building the motor, and I wanted to get some of it out so I could go to
two.
The proper...
You have one that's where? Bodie's? Where's one?
No, the one here. I did it here.
Oh, that's the... What's that car doing here, Mustang? Everyone walks into my shop and goes, ooh, look at that Mira. Ooh, is that Newman? What's that Mustang doing here?
It's a wonderful
here?
Conversation piece. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to explain. Oh, it's not mine.
Do you want me to just put a sign up that it's not Adam's?
It'd save a lot of uncomfortable conversations I have with some of my more well-to-do friends.
Okay.
All right. Where were we? Garage Boss, man. Oh, yeah. So they do. So you did the oil on my, not the one in my shop. Huh?
Yeah, well, I don't work on your cars.
Yeah, man. We have them. And it's the thing that's nice about Garage Boss is you don't drain the oil or tranny fluid or whatever it is into the pan and then have to do the funnel and the transfer or whatever. You just put it right in a thing and carry the thing like a little briefcase.
We got the big barrel and I couldn't get the big barrel underneath. So I used the Garage Boss and then I dumped it into the big recycling.
Yeah, we have the big barrel, but you guys, without the big barrel, could just take it right to the recycling place right from the container, so you don't have to do the transfer. They got all different sizes, and they got funnels, and they got liners. The chick we met out in Vegas, she was fun. I like her, the Garage Boss gal.
Yeah.
Go to Amazon.com and just search Garage Boss, B-O-S-S. It's easy, it's good, and it's time to step it up. Amazon.com. Search Garage Boss and get yours. All right, got a couple of questions here. God, that's going to be a great field. 11 manufacturers. See, that's the way it should be.
Yeah. And I like those cars. I like that.
I like those cars too.
Kind of.
We lean on each other. I mean, it's not like you're. I mean, it's going to be hard, close, and so they're going to have. So IMSA is going to have three different groups. They're going to have the prototypes. They're going to have the GTLM, like the cars that go to Le Mans, and then they're going to have ours. So talk about. You know, L.A. traffic, it's going to be a mess out there.
Yeah, I like
Long Beach,
too. I like that whole event.
Yeah, it's a great event. We should get out there, and it's a good, tight...
The weather's always
nice. It's a good, tight track. It's a good, tight track that you can... I'm trying to think here, but you can drive really bunched up and really close on that track, even though there's a lot of concrete barriers and stuff like that. Yeah. But you can... That track just is made for just... rubbing and racing and everybody together.
And that race you were in last year, that celebrity race, that was pretty, a lot of rubbing, racing going on in that event.
Every year, there's a lot of rubbing. Man. More rubbing than racing in those events.
Yeah, especially when it's not your car. It's really hard to tell people to take it easy
on
not your car.
They're like, hey, it's for charity.
And it's the last, that was the last that Toyota the last, celebrity race.
That was like the 40th anniversary, I think?
Yeah. I was having a nightmare about it the other night because I was thinking about how I was just in second and what's her name? Dara Torres just kept that stupid hairpin. She just kept riding me into those. She was like
a dog with a bone.
Anyway. Yeah.
She's just going after you. Yeah. It's carnage. It's fun to watch.
This is what makes me angry. This is why I go nuts when I see two people standing in the middle of the 405 in the third lane, and the guy's got a scratch on his bumper, and the other guy's got a little piece of chrome missing from his brush guard, and they're both standing out there, like, exchanging information. And I'm like, pull it. Get out of here. Get off the side. I have seen cars, you know, almost bone stock Scions do laps on that track with completely caved in quarter panels and popped tires and steam. I've driven that thing with the steering wheel driving.
Everything's screwed up.
I've seen guys get what was it? Brody Jenner? I think it was like Brody. I saw the year when I won as a celebrity, Brody Jenner hit the wall. He just saw glass flying everywhere, and he just nailed the wall and everything. And at a certain point, you see him backing out, fenders dragging, bumpers dragging. He's on his way. I didn't think he was limping back to the pits. I think he just went back
out. Finish the race. Come on, finish the race. Going.
Anyone listening who's doing that move in the middle of the freeway,
it's funny because
you
people
can
like,
find
oh,
that,
it's
Chris.
The,
you'll
like,
laugh.
Oh, it's the celebrity race. The cars aren't that fast. It's not that bad. But that dude from True Blood, what's his name? He flipped his car. Like, he turtled his car.
Well,
he was sitting on the roof. I don't know how he did that.
Brody's car. he got out of his car. Okay.
Probably finished two more laps and then got out of it.
What you didn't see on TV last year is that guy hit a tow truck.
I mean, I'm watching that race and I'm like, no, this isn't happening. And then it all happened and the guy's, you know, jumping, the tow truck driver is jumping out of the way right before the car slams into it.
He could have been delegitated. But the problem with the race is it makes everyone do bad things. And the reason it makes everyone do, it's like cocaine. It makes everyone do bad things, and I'll tell you why. Because it's not your car, and whatever rules they say that they're going to go by, they throw them out as soon as the green flag drops. So I'm in second place, and Alfonso Ribeiro's in first place, and we see the yellow flags waving frantically. He ain't slowing down.
No.
Now,
it's a suggestion.
Right.
The yellow flag.
He's not going to slow down. And I've done this race before, and they don't seem to penalize people that don't slow down. So if he's not going to slow down and I'm in second place, I can't slow down because he's just leaving now, and that'll be it. There'll be no more, he's going to get it pulled in and black flagged and I'm penalized the lap or anything. He's just going to leave.
Yeah.
So when we're getting the frantic yellow flag, he's going. So I'm going, all right, I'm in second. Well, I'm just going to go with him. And then whoever's in third is going with me. And what we don't see when we come around the right-hander that goes down the back straightaway, opposite of Shoreline, that one is, geez, what is that one? Runs along all the condos and everything. There is a tow truck in the middle of the track, and it's perfectly placed so that you can't see it as you're going down. There's the left-hand sort of sweeper, and then you come back and you set up for the right. You don't see the tow truck until you've made the corner. And as far as the yellow flag's going, you're just thinking, they must have cleared the wreck because we're through this.
Yeah.
And then you turn the corner, and everyone turned the corner at speed, and the truck was parked in the middle of the track.
I'm telling you, if you were one of the safety guys, you'd be like, I will work any race except for the celebrity race.
Scariest thing I've ever seen. You know, I've won a celebrity race a couple times, and I gotta hand it to you guys. That race last year was probably the most scariest that I can remember watching in a long time. I don't know if that's because it's the last one.
But also, they flipped the order.
Crazy.
It was the last one, and it was only fast guys, which normally there's a couple like, all right, well, we don't need to worry about Wanda Wanda Sykes. Wanda's just got to get out of the way. But if you replace everyone with just fast people who are super competitive, then you're going to get that.
Yeah, everyone who was in it had won before. I think that was the theme of it.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so they all thought they could win again. So anybody that qualified well was at the back of the pack. And, of course, they were so mad
just
and eager.
Just dial up carnage for that deal right there.
Yeah, but they should have. Yeah, they still should have a policy that when there's safety equipment on the track,
well, the
you got to stop.
Bringing out the pace car is the only way to slow down that group.
Yeah. That's a weird one to bring actual equipment on the track and not bring a pace car out. And yes, we got stopped before or after or whatever. But yeah, the only way you're going to stop that group is to bring a car out. Yeah. All right. Let's see. We got questions up there. Someone bought a 924. This is something we've been talking about, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Privately. Hey, Mike, 43, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Adam. It's great to talk to you. Big fan.
Man. Say hi to Scott and Matt.
Hello.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Matt.
Hey,
hey, Mike.
So somebody just, your son just bought a 924 Porsche?
Yeah, he's 15. He's working part-time as a cashier at a supermarket, and he saved up a few bucks, and he sold his car on Craigslist for $500, and he talked the guy down to $400.
Oh, boy.
And we went and looked at it, and it needs a lot of work, but I left him buy it, and I figure, as a dad, he'll get more out of this than just the car from him having to work on it and save his money and buy parts
and
everything.
No, that's great. I love this story.
Can we first talk about how Mike gets the cool dad award for like,
that's
hey,
awesome.
let's do a 924 project together, son, 15-year-old son of mine.
Yeah, no. Good.
It's going to make memories regardless, right?
Yeah.
It's never going to run, but you guys are going to have fun with it.
Car's belt, I think it's got a belt drive on that cam. Is that true? Check that, MaxPad. For some reason, I think that's a belt. I think that's... For some reason, they start coming in with belts about that time, which I don't think it was a great idea.
Open up a corporate account at Pelican Parts.
Yeah.
Get their catalogs and get the books. What's that dude's name? Wayne?
Yeah, Wayne.
Yeah, that guy writes books about how to fix. He's like a super nerd genius, and he writes books on how to fix these cars. I don't know if he has one on the 924.
He does. He's got to.
Yeah.
It says Porsche on it. He's got it.
But definitely check with those guys.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's going to be so much to do. But that's a cool car. And, you know, for $400, I think you'll be okay if you put a few hundred into it.
That's right. And then by the time you do the LS swap, it'll run great.
No, those cars are coming.
The engine
coming on.
Runs in it.
Yeah.
It runs. Wow.
They're coming on. We saw a 924 race car go a couple weeks ago. Amelia Island for like Island. 220, like an IMSA car or whatever.
I'd have to look it up.
It was like an 82. Maybe a little before Scott's time. Didn't look that great. Went for $200,000+.
Yeah, it looked way better in the pictures than it actually did in person. But we saw another one.
The 944. The 944 turbos are coming on. Whenever the big brother comes on, the little brother, and you're not little brother, you're step cousin because the big brother, the 911 turbos, and then they come down to the 911 SCs and, you know, 912s, and we work our way down to the, you know,
you're right.
We have the S's and all that stuff.
Are starting to go, and now the 924s are going to start to go.
Right. So that's a good. Is it in silver or is it silver?
It's part of it silver and part of it's black.
That's the part that caught on fire.
Well, the black is primer.
Yeah. No, that's where it caught on fire.
That's where it caught on fire. Yeah.
I've never seen that car in anything but silver.
It's funny, even that race car we saw was silver.
It's always silver. That is the most silverest car.
More than the Mercedes Legacy?
No, I'm trying to... It's a cam belt. Yeah, right. All right,
so you're going to have to do that.
You're going to have to change that.
Yeah. Again, go to Pelican Parts. He's got them, I'm sure.
Well, the good news is you are at the bottom of the Porsche food chain, like 914, 924. Like, this is stuff you can get. It's not that expensive. It's not Porsche, you know, regular Porsche expensive.
Crazy money.
Right. Even I feel like 928s are kind of having a little... Renaissance.
I tell you though, I think it's a fun car, and what I like about it being such an inexpensive project to start with, do the work yourself, have fun with it. Don't go overboard and try to make it a 100-point car. Like, if you ever thought about like, hey, do you think I can paint? Go to a junkyard, grab a piece of sheet metal, grab a Dora hood, shoot some paint.
Get
a weenie roller. And then, yeah, and just paint your car one day. Maybe it's not going to be great, but you'd be like, I did it, you know?
Use the sponge weenie roller. It's smoother. It's a lot smoother. George, 29, Irvine.
Hey, Adam, Matt, Scott, thank you for taking my call.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
I just have a quick question. You guys are professional race car drivers.
I'm not.
So you may experience this problem a little different, but I'm having like an instinct to slam the brakes anytime I'm coming up on a curve, specifically on the way to Mammoth Mountain. So what advice do you guys have? Like, I'm going 85 and I just want to slam the brakes.
Well, I'll form the question.
I feel like this is for you guys. The dangers of going to Mammoth Mountain.
Now, Scott was talking about doing Fontana and going into turn one, I guess that is, and not
246.
Yeah,
and 246. Not lifting there, right?
Right.
And so I've done vintage races there, and it's very hard not to lift your right foot as you're entering a corner because everything that's in you is saying, I'm turning, I'm just going to go off the side of the track.
Right. I like to call it the chicken bone.
Yeah.
That's that one in your foot that connects to your head that tells you that you should be letting off, and you should be letting off, but you don't. The biggest challenge with any high-speed turn when you let off is the fact you get so much weight transfer forward that a lot of times you're going from a car that's got a nice balance to it to one where it goes more nose down and wants to get a bit a little bit assy,
actually achieving your negative goal
exactly
by letting off. Is there a technique of like saying, "All right, I'll feather it, or yes, I'll let a little for one lap, and I'll see if I can get a little more into it in the next lap"?
We're assuming that the turns to Amelia Island aren't banked turns.
Just think of
Mammoth.
Mammoth, yeah, sorry.
Just think of an egg between your foot and the throttle, your foot and the brake. So don't crush the brake and don't let it fall on the floor and break. I mean, all those moves that, you know, wherever you're doing them, and I can't condone, you know, going, you know, high rates of speeds on city roads because you never know what's going to be around the corner. However, if I'm dealing with those at a racetrack, it'd be really a balance between coming off the brake gently, I mean, coming on off the throttle gently and getting on the brake. So you're not really getting
so
much of a
transfer. So the aggressive movement is what gets you out of shape.
That's the biggest thing.
Right? Too hard on the gas, too hard on the brake. That's what gets you out of shape.
Nice balance.
Right.
Nice,
good to know.
Nice soft balance.
All right. Let's talk
to you. And be careful on your way to Mammoth.
Yeah.
Especially if it's ice. If it's ice, all bets are off, man.
He's probably like in an expedition or something.
Laura's calling from Hawaii. 34, Laura.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, it's morning here, sorry. Anyway, so I just bought a 94 SS Impala last summer. Mm-hmm. And this has been like my dream car. Don't ask why.
Yeah.
I just think it's sexy. But anyway, so what do you guys think about this car? Like,
is it black or is it black?
Are you going to crush it? It's black.
It could be that weird
green.
Well,
that's what we need in 94.
Wait, I got to see the picture of the 94 Impala, because don't we have a new Impala that's...
So yeah,
I bought my dad, because he was such a huge supporter of mine in my racing career,
a brand new one. Turn your mic, Scott. Just turn it toward you a little
just
bit.
Just turn it? Okay. Oh,
that'd be
a brand new one back in 94 and gave it to him. I think it might have like 20,000 miles on it. And it's a very cool car. Just was in it last week. Went for a ride with my dad last week in it. Great car.
And so,
well, supposedly it's really rare, and because they ran out of aluminum for the rims back then, so they didn't have enough. But there's, you know, for the B body Impalas, there's probably like three on our entire island. I feel special, but yeah,
well, there's nine people on the island, and most of them walk. So,
which island are you on?
No, I'm on the Big Island.
Do we need a Hawaii and a Kauai? I feel like that's confusing. Like, how many people have landed on Kauai thinking they're meeting someone on Hawaii and vice versa? Let's go with a different name for Kauai.
Never admit to that.
Maui, no problem. You know, okay. Hawaii, Maui, no problem. But Kauai? All right. So, Laura, listen, we like it if you like it. Is it black?
It's, of course it's black.
Of course,
it's
yeah.
the
black.
Only color they came on.
I thought they had that car in a weird green, but,
they
but that's
got,
another
they got
one.
Some LS engine in them. They got the big V8.
Oh, that's 95.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a 96. Yeah. I
okay.
mean, you know, we're a Chevy family. We have a 85 Monte Carlo, a 64 Impala.
Jeez.
64 Impala.
Are you Mexican yeah. or are you Mexican?
No, not Mexican at all.
What the hell?
I'm actually pretty Asian.
Oh, man. Someone's got to
wow,
straighten that
64
out.
64 Impala. My very first car was a 64 Impala.
But wow. yours has 396.
I wish I did.
Yeah.
It's his very first car. He bought it when he was 14 up in
perfect.
The mainland. And it's a four-door,
it
though,
hold
so
on.
I tease him.
I'm going to call bullshit on Scott. Scott's like a prostitute. Like, you're a Gemini?
Yeah.
I'm a Gemini. You like Steely Dan?
Yeah.
I love Steely. Sweetie, you're 22. I love Steely Dan. Where's your room?
Yeah.
Scott just says whatever the car is. He's like, oh, my dad, I got it.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
my first car.
Yeah, no one's going to fact check him. No one's going to fact check him.
If he'd said in Zuzu IMark, Scott would have said, yeah, that's my, bought my first
too.
Wife that. Yeah.
Three-cylinder. Yeah, that was really cool. Car.
All right, good on you there, Laura. I like a lady that's into her car. I like that they're still like Chevy families.
That's right.
Yeah,
I like
Impala
that
Impala family.
Yeah, yeah, an Impala car, family because they're just there's not going to be there's just going to be like my kids are going to have Uber families.
Uber families.
Like, that's all they're going to have.
I want like a 60-61 Impala red convertible.
Yeah.
Laura might have one.
That is, like, that's a. I had a chance to buy one about 15 years ago and still kicked myself for. I mean, it was just a perfect, beautiful driving car. And I didn't. I just. That's stupid.
Now, would that one
stupid.
Have two antennas in the rear?
That had one.
And.
Optional.
They also
had
did they do
fins,
that sort of.
Came off.
Did they do this? What did they call the exterior spare Monte Carlo kit or whatever? Continental package.
I don't know if they all called it that, but it was. I know it as a Continental package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that car? Could you get one with that? I never knew
if that was an option. Or guys just stuck that on there. But
I don't know
was,
why more drag racers don't use that because the weight advantage in the
you
back.
You want that spare tire.
Yeah, it looks so good,
spare
too.
That's just such a great look on that car.
Oh, no, speaking of good, how about Rich Uncles? Yeah, how about it, man? Rich Uncles. What do we need to know about Rich Uncles? I'll tell you. Yeah. You go to the bank right now, and what do you get? You get 1%, less than 1%.
It's not even worth it.
It's not even worth it. I was checking into T-bills. Like, it's under 1%. Rich Uncles, they're currently doing 7 or even better. Recently featured in Wall Street Journal. So you, don't take my word for it. Go to richuncles.com. And what you should do is when you go to Rich Uncles, you should read the article that the Wall Street Journal talked about Rich Uncles in, and then you find out from the leading financial publication just how good Rich Uncles is, and then you get involved with Rich Uncles. Like any investment, it has risk, it's not guaranteed, but Rich Uncles is a REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. That's REIT. Rich Uncles, give them a call. Do what I did. Go to richuncles.com, or like I said, call them 855-RICH-UNCLES. Let them know you heard it here on CarCast. That is Rich Uncles. Right here on CarCast. Go ahead, Kalen.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response, will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
All right, let's do one more, because we got to show Scott. You got to go look at the other shop and see how you'll see some...
If he likes race cars.
Are you kidding me? I got a bunch of... I'm working on my 95...
94?
Sorry, 94, that's right.
I got
94 championship-winning Trans Am car.
Oh, really?
I got the body is as it came off the racetrack.
Is it an Impala?
It is a... It's Chevy.
Okay.
It's a Chevy Camaro. And, yeah, anxious to get that done. I got a couple old... You know, got an old 60 Caddy and a VW bus and...
Yeah,
Chevy Pro Street, some other fun stuff.
I'm just going way down on a limb here, but what was the livery of the Chevy?
Royal Oak.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Royal Oak, beautiful colors. Beat Kendall for the championship that year. We had a lot of good.
Kendall
good
just race. Told us differently.
He said it's he weird. Won that,
yeah. I got the winning car.
He said he wanted to fight you afterward. It was weird. I don't know why.
He beat you.
You get him confused with Willie. Sorry.
Let me see that car, Chris Maxpana. And the
94.
Yeah, it's cool. I I love all this stuff. Are you going to take it out? You're going to vintage race it?
I'd like to, well, not. I'm too scared to vintage race it. I'm afraid I'd hurt it. So
you got to get over that.
But I do want to get it on because it is the team owner, Buzz McCall. He called me about.
Well, now we're looking at the Mac Tools something here.
That's my 88 car.
Right.
And I have the bodywork for that as it came off the racetrack as well. I don't have the car, but I have the body. There it is, right in.
Lower.
It's got kind of the flames on it. Up. Over one. There you go. Right there.
I love that. Yeah, because Chris is looking at like Audi Q4s or whatever. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it's a Camaro.
Wow.
Yeah. Those cars
like
are moving up in value, too.
The last one, kind of that era, actually my championship winning 86 car recently sold for 500 and something thousand.
1986?
Yeah, 1986.
1986 was...
Mustang?
Oh, it was a Roush?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Roush stuff.
So that's
stuff
when I was driving with Bruce, with Jenner.
The Roush stuff is going bananas. And yeah. I like the Capris aesthetically even a little bit better, I think. I don't know why.
They kind of have that Euro back to them.
There's something a little more Euro about them, but the Roush Capri is a really good looking race car. Like in the
even now. I mean,
even now. Yeah. Oh yeah, these guys are in my vintage class sometimes, and the Capri is cool because it's the only American race car that has a kind of European vibe to it. You know, when you see the 512 Ferraris out there and you see BMW M1s, you know, pro cars and stuff, you go, "Huh, that's a European race car." Yeah. But the Capri, and then you see the Corvette lumber along, and it's just, all right, that's an American car. But the Capris have that sort of nice crossover vibe.
Jack Roush has, I believe, the Newman, the Nobody's Fool.
Mustang.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, he does.
I don't think he's like super eager to
sell
it.
When did your winning car sell?
Like 2 years ago.
Wow, for 500
and change. So Zach Brown, you know
the band?
Zach Brown, now he's running McLaren.
Oh, different Zach Brown. Isn't there a Zach Brown band?
It's called the Zach Brown Band.
Not that Zach.
So not that guy.
He's got a bunch of historic vintage race cars and great guy. And
he's like my buddy David Bowie out at Foster Motor Works over there. Not that guy. Different dude. He goes by Dave. There's a lot of confusion. Big NASCAR guy.
Yep.
He's in one of the Carolinas. So that guy bought it. I love it.
So my championship car. So I mean, if they have a heritage to them, if they're a winning car and drove by somebody significant, and they have a heritage about them, a lot of the Trans Am, IMSA sports cars. I mean, they're really taking off.
Good, because I got some, and you're going to go see them in about 2 minutes, Bill.
Yeah. Hey guys.
Hey Bill.
What's going on? 35 Colorado. I got a question about damage to the transmission when you downshift.
Yeah, I'm driving a 15 Ford Fusion, and I've always downshifted. I driving on the mountains here in Colorado, you downshift to slow the cars, you're coming down the mountain instead of riding the brake, and that's what we always learn. And I got my buddies I drive with going kayaking or whatever, and they're always like, you're going to kill the transmission in this car. And I say, I don't want to burn the brakes. And I say, it's cheaper to replace the brakes than the transmission. So I'm just wondering your thoughts.
Scott's going to know this.
The transmission is shifting anyway. If you do it manually, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
I've always downshifted and always my brake pads and trannies and clutches have lasted a very long time in a lot of like trucks and stuff I've always driven because I've always just let the car slow itself down, and it's been good for the clutch and good for the brake pads, and it seems to be good all the way around because I've never had clutch problems or whatever. But I think if you drive it correctly, your clutch. If you're doing it right, nothing will suffer.
You know, the only time I've ever had a problem is in a rental car when I was doing about 60 and tried to get it into reverse. So.
Yeah, that'll be tough.
It just
sometimes
makes a lot of noise. I don't know why.
Well, most of good rental cars have the lockout.
But I mean, that's how they're designed. I mean, the transmissions, I mean, all these car companies, I mean, they're made to shift. So, yeah, not a problem.
If you left it in drive, it's going to downshift anyway as you're cruising, coasting down the... You know, I mean, you want it to. It should be shifting on its own.
He's talking about
If he's manually shifting it.
Manually.
I'm saying,
yeah, but if you left it drive,
it's going to do it on its own.
You know? No, I got you. Yeah. All right. Geico, man. You want to save some money? You go to Geico. Geico.com. Super easy. So what do you do? Well, you don't have to leave your house. That's easy. You just slide on over to your computer, jump on it, go to Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Put a little extra money in your pocket and save that money. Maybe get a head gasket for an 82-924. Hmm? You know that? I was thinking head gaskets. All I was thinking when that kid was talking about it. Best dad in the world. I like to put him in the same room with my dad. Go to Geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more. That's what you do at Geico.com. Scott Pruitt over here. Scott, you can check out at ScottPruitt.com, and you can check out his beautiful
Long Beach
vino.
Grand Prix, by the way.
Scott, sorry, Pruitt. Pruett vineyard.com. Pruettvineyard.com. Shoot him a tweet at Scott Pruitt 01 in the Long Beach Grand Prix coming up the 7th through the 9th. These guys are racing on Saturday.
On Saturday, and it'll be live on Fox, and I'll be in the number 14 Lexus RCF GT3.
We got to see about getting out there.
Yeah.
Come on out.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it.
It's always a great event.
It's always a great event.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's always good.
I'll hook you up with tickets. How's that?
Yeah. Look, I'm just like the idea of having a beer before the race for a change.
That's right, yeah. And by the way, Long Beach is the best racing event to walk around and have a beer at because there's so much cool stuff.
There's so much.
And beer flows.
Especially if the sun's out.
Yeah. I don't know why, but something special about that buzz. All right. Me, us, and whatever, you can go to chassis, chassy.com. You can get the Newman Doc. You can get the 24-hour war. We got the Trans Am, the West Coast Championship Series coming out here. I'll be driving the Go Share Corvette C7R.
Sunday. Come on
racing.
Out.
Yeah, Sunday's the race. Practice qualifying and all that. Qualifying Sunday, too. Too early. But
hey,
not sleeping
so,
there.
So little bit of tidbit. I won Le Mans with Corvette in a factory program, their first win in 2001.
Wow. Okay,
that was the kickoff to their whole, you know, just crushing of Le Mans over there.
You
if Adam
drive,
doesn't qualify well yeah, on Saturday
drive,
morning, you're welcome to come
I'm,
on out.
No,
no,
I'm qualifying, you'll just drive Sunday afternoon yeah. anyway. I'll just put
actually,
you in the same fire
you don't want
suit.
To get up in the morning, so if you qualify for Adam on Sunday morning.
There's a chink in that armor. That's not great logic.
No.
Have me qualify poorly.
And
Scott then go in like, geez.
But you got to get up early.
Adam, why? I'll get up. This will be fine. And then, Scott, you just walk around in the fire suit, visor down.
Yeah, like the Stig.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Like the Stig.
Like the Stig.
And Matt, you run around. Like, don't bother him. He doesn't want to sign autographs.
He's focusing now.
He's in a zone. And then you go out and drive. And then at the very end, I'll come running up to, like, congratulate you, but I'll pull my mechanic's jumpsuit off, and I'll be wearing the
perfect.
Other fire suit, and I'll have my head all sweated
out.
How fun would that? How? We got to figure out how to do that.
We
got to figure out how to do something
do
like
we.
That.
Boy, do we. All right. You go to CarCast and all that show. Where do you go? CarCastShow.com.
Yep. Check us out. And all of our social media is at CarCastShow.
Yeah. Until next time, Dan Crawford, Scott Pruitt, and Matt the Motor Raider saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.